3 out of 4, I think. Week 3 of a series that we've been doing called What If We? We've been talking about what if we as a church did some certain things, and if we did those certain things, what might happen? This is sort of a vision series that we've been talking about, trying to put into our own hearts the idea that if we would act some certain ways, we might see some certain things happen. The first week we said, what if we made room for more? What do you suppose would happen if we made room for more? What do you think would happen if we created more space? And in my heart, I sort of think if we make more space, it will get filled. So far, that's been the case for this church, and I've been excited to be a part of that. But we're going to try it out. February 7th, 2 weeks from today, we are going to have two services instead of one on a Sunday morning. That's exciting, eh? That's exciting. As a staff, we're always sitting around talking about trying to figure out, okay, there's all these details and this, and how are we going to manage team, and how are we going to do all these things, and what's going to happen with all of that. So it's stressful. Often we have to stop and say, wait a sec, we're excited about this, aren't we? We're excited about this. I know sometimes as a church we can think, wait, well, who's going to go to that one, and who's going to go to that one, and will my friends be at this one, and will I be able to be with all of those people? Stop yourself and say, this is exciting. The goal of this church is to see people come to know Jesus and be in full relationship with Him. And so if that's our goal, making room for more people to start that journey with us is a great and exciting thing for us to be a part of. That's what we're doing. What if we made room for more? The second week we talked about, well, actually the second week we had a power outage and we left the place altogether. But the third week we talked about, what if we all played our part? What if we all took a little piece of that and we took on a little piece of what God is doing? What if we all served in some capacity? What if we all volunteered in some way in this church? What would happen if we all played our part? I'm so glad to tell you, we probably have we're close to 40% of our church is volunteering in some capacity in this church. Isn't that amazing? 40% of our church. I'll tell you, you may be like, well, that's not that great. But I'm not talking about 40% of our membership. I'm meaning if we have about 350 to 400 here on a Sunday, we have about probably 500 people just come through our church on an average month or something. We have about close to 200 of those volunteering in some way in this church. That's incredible, hey? That's awesome. I'm really excited about that. That's an incredible thing. We have almost the exact same amount connected in a small group. That's so good. 40% serving, 40% in small groups. Our goal is 100, but 40 is really special. It's really awesome. We'd love to see more. If you're here and you're not serving on team, we'd love to help you find a place. If you're here and you don't have a small group, we'd love to help you find one, because we believe as you tie into those two things, you're going to see your life grow. You're going to see your faith develop, and you're going to have a lot of good friends to do it with. So we want you to be a part of that. And this week, we're saying, what if we got serious about mission? What if we got serious about not just building something in here, but building something for out there? What if we got serious about not just creating a great space for us to be discipled and learn about the Bible and pray together and do those, but what if we had a heart and a vision and a passion to go out into the world and see things take place, reach new people, share with new people, let them be part of this incredible journey with us? What if we did that? I used to ride my bike to work in Victoria. I had a pretty good bike, but it didn't seem to help me for a while. No matter how good that bike was, it was hard to ride to work. My wife and I moved out of town, and we had one car. And so I thought, don't worry, I got a bike a while ago. I'm going to ride my bike to work. It's going to be great. I can't wait. So that was ambitious. But anyways, I started biking to work. It was about 18 kilometers to work, so 36 round trip. And from nothing to that was a fair jump. So I started biking, and I remember getting to work and sort of like stumbling into my seat like this and lying down. Anyways, that's what I did. And my legs were so tired every time I got to work. I was just done. My face was beet red for about the next 3 days. And it was just a tiring job for me to do. I'd come home. Kendall's like, hey, ready for dinner? I'm like, no, I'm going to be sick for a while here. Let me just relax. Kids, do not touch me. You're too hot right now. I was just always hot. wait outside in the winter. Like, I need to stand under the rain for a while or something. Like, that's just sort of what it was like for me when I first started biking to work. But soon I started noticing my pants weren't fitting quite as well in the thighs. So I was getting some muscles to me. I'm like, that's new. I got some calf muscles. I didn't know I had calf muscles. I didn't know I owned them. My legs are sort of straight down. That's about all. But all of a sudden, I started getting calf muscles. I thought, wow, biking is paying off a little bit. I like having a bike. And then, you know, even my stomach started shrinking a little bit, which was kind of a bonus. And I could eat whatever I wanted. I could eat like a Big Mac with a side of donuts. And that's what I could eat for lunch. It didn't matter. It was all, I could just chow down, everything filled up my tummy, and I was all good. And I was still getting in good shape because I was riding my bike to work, not every day. That would be an exaggeration, but quite a bit, enough to notice some difference in my body. Well, I moved here, and we got a second vehicle, and this church doesn't yet have a shower, which would have been bad news if I was biking. But I stopped biking to work. And the crazy thing is, my stomach started looking different again. And my thighs started looking different again. And it started changing a little bit. I wasn't as in good of shape, or should I say, I am not as in good of shape as I was then. That doesn't make sense, right? I still own the bike. I still have a bike. Like, why aren't I in shape? I still have a bike. It sits in my garage every week. Same bike, different body. What happened? You know, what happened to me? I mean, it's like a gym membership. I don't know if you've ever bought a gym membership and thought that that alone would change what you look like. Bought the gym membership January 1st. Check. That's it. You know, and we forget to use it, and we think, why? I don't know why. I've tried everything. I've tried everything, and stuff's still not changing for me. I bought the gym membership. I own a bike, and I'm still out of shape. What is going on here? I know there's some people in this church who know how to use a gym membership. I played squash against a fella named Peter Delray. And when I play against Peter Delray, he actually, two of the games we played, I got 0 points. And when we play, I leave like this. And in fact, it was 2 days ago that we played and I could barely climb up these stairs. And he leaves and goes to the gym. So I gotta go work out. That was, I don't know how that works. But anyways, sometimes we think that if we just have a bike, if we just have a membership, if we just have, that's going to make a difference in our life. That's what's going to do it. And we do the same thing with church. I have a church, so that should be good. I go to church, so I think my faith is probably about taken care of. I show up on Sunday, and so I think God and I are in good place, and everything is fine because I get to church every single week. I get there. I have one. I belong. They know me. I am at church. And so that is all good. I'm there every single time. Sometimes we don't think about what our church should be doing. We just think about that we have it. Hey, we gathered on Sunday again. Wasn't that great? We gathered on Sunday. I believe that us gathering on Sunday, if the only thing that it accomplishes is for us to be excited about Jesus, and then nothing happens through our week and we gather again to get excited about Jesus, we're not accomplishing what we're supposed to be accomplishing. We're supposed to get excited about Jesus, yes. We're supposed to worship and get pumped and feel the joy and feel the encouragement of each other and cheer and laugh and have joy where we wouldn't have had joy otherwise. All of those things are good, but if they're not causing us to do anything in the Comox Valley, we're probably missing the point. I wonder today, if Northgate all of a sudden wasn't here, who in the Comox Valley would miss us? It's a good thing for us to wonder. Who would miss us? Would it just be us church people? Or who would miss the church? And wouldn't we want that amount of people, those people, to grow in the Comox Valley? Wouldn't that be a great number to start counting to? How many people would miss us if we were no longer here? How many of the poor would miss us if we were no longer here? How many of the widows and the orphans and the broken and the weary and the confused and the destitute, how many of those would miss us if we were no longer here? God's called us to those people. And sometimes we've settled to say, church is something I have. It's a place that I go. But But just because we have a church doesn't mean we are the church. Just because we have a church to attend doesn't mean we're being the church that God's asked us to be. Being the church means being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Being the church is being the visible reminder of who Jesus is to this world. Jesus came and he started reaching people, started caring for people, started loving people, started performing miracles, started eating with people who no one else wanted to eat with, standing beside people and encouraging potential in people that no one else wanted to encourage potential in. He was life-giving. He did something. We want to do something. I want to read you from Mark, from the Bible, Mark 14, 1-4. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. It just doesn't sound like the most beautiful smelling stuff, does it? Here's your nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume?" I'm using this scripture because of actually how it reads in this Bible. This is called the Jesus Storybook Bible. For simple people like me, sometimes it works better. But I read this to my daughter every night, and she has a devotional, a kid's devotional, and a kid's storybook Bible. I love what they have. If you're a parent and you don't have this, you should track it down. It's awesome. It will teach you a lot, and your kids may learn something too. But this is what it talks about. This is how it pieces this together, and I love it. It says, "Who does she think she is?" the guest whispered. "How dare she?" The woman was a big sinner, and everyone knew it. It was easy to see, after all. She had broken the rules and done bad things. The woman walked straight up to Jesus. She was carrying very expensive perfume. Now, the thing about perfume back then was that it didn't come in bottles. It came in jars, and the jars were made out of precious stone like alabaster. But here's the catch. The jars didn't have a lid or a stopper or anything. So the only way you got the perfume out was if you broke the jar. Once you broke the jar, that was it. You had no more. Most people didn't use perfume because it was too precious. They just kept it on a shelf and looked at it. Isn't that cool? It's good to read the Jesus Storybook Bible once in a while. They have these jars of perfume, and they thought one day maybe we could sell it and do something for someone, and that'd be good. But in the meantime, look at what we have. We've got this jar of perfume. Can't smell it. It's not doing anything. It's not serving its purpose. It's not accomplishing anything that it's supposed to accomplish, and it sits there. If you want the perfume, you have to break it. I believe, for me, as I was spending some time thinking about this and praying about this, I believe for us to be the church that we're supposed to be, some aspects of what we've assumed church is need to break so that the goodness of what God designed us to be might flow out a little bit more freely, might be wasted on people that no one else wants to waste anything on, might be poured out for people that no one else wants to pour any sacrifice out onto. Church can't be a status for us. It can't be a thing on the shelf that we have and we're safe because of it. It can't just be something that sits there and we never have to think about. It needs to be something that gets poured out all over this Comox Valley. Jesus is meeting us here. We'll know it because of what happens out there. I really believe that. Getting to church isn't the end goal. Getting to church isn't the end goal for what we're trying to do. In fact, this sort of captures it all. We don't want to reach out more so we can grow a big church. We want to grow a big church so we can reach out more. I'm not going to apologize to anyone for trying to grow a big church. I don't want to see 300 or 400 people here. Well, I'm happy to see you. But I want to see you become 1,000, 2,000 people. I want to see much more happening here. Not so that we can get together and say, "Isn't this great? Look how many people we have. It's so good." whew, Sunday's done. Get ready for next Sunday. Not because of that, but because of the life that's given. If more people come here, that means more people can be inspired to go out there and make a difference. That means our voice gets bigger if we can be unified. It gets louder in the Comox Valley. We have more brains to think about some strategies of how we can impact this world, of how we can make a difference here and regionally and in Canada and internationally. If the more people get here, the more the dreaming comes together, the more we can expect, the more money comes in. The more people are here, the more, the bigger the pool gets, which means the more we get to reach. I want to see more people here, but not so we can get more people here, so we can get more people reaching to the world, more people caring for the world, more people investing in what's happening here, so we can dream bigger than we're currently dreaming. We can expect more than we're currently expecting. We want that. We want that as a church. We want to see that. We don't want to reach out more so we can grow a big church. We want to grow a big church so we can reach out more. Here's this pretty challenging verse, a couple verses that have challenged me this week from Amos 5:21. It's a prophet talking. This is the voice of God speaking. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream. God says, you get together and you sing, dance, you bring sacrifice. You know, you bring a sacrifice of praise. You give money. You do all those things. If you're not making things right in the world, if you're not bringing the kingdom of God to this earth, if you're not seeing things be restored, things being reconciled, life being given, then he says, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see you gather if there's nothing happening because of your gathering. The gathering is not the goal for us. We're not finished when we get here on Sunday. In fact, Sunday, I hope that we can get up here and celebrate and sing and laugh and have fun and hear a message and hear about what God has done and what he's doing. And out of that, we would be inspired to live different kinds of lives. That's the goal for us, that we would be passionate about mission. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Sometimes we think religion, you know, people, we say we're religious. What does that mean? I go to church, read my Bible. I'm religious about that. What if we became religious about mission? What if we put structural things in place that reminded us to be missional? What if we had checks in our mind that if we weren't doing this, that's something we need to be doing. I'm back to a place where I'm just being religious about getting to church, and I'm back to a place where I'm just getting religious about reading my, no, those are important, but it's not just about that. I think when we get to heaven, it might be a different story. We might hear a different sermon in heaven. Like, there's not a lot of justice that needs to come when we're in heaven, but here we are on earth, and there's broken, and there's sick. And there's people laying in hospital beds who have no hope other than what we could offer them through Jesus Christ. There's people who are addicted. There's people who are struggling with alcohol. There's people who are facing abuse and facing things, situations that they feel like they can't get out of. And God says, stop the gatherings if they're not going to do anything for those people. Wouldn't that be amazing if we, on a Sunday morning, gathered with more people? We've made room for more. But let's dream now, not about how to get more people in here for the sake of getting more people in here, but how to get more people in here for the sake of sending them out. Seeing the Comox Valley changed. Seeing the Comox Valley come to a new place where people know Jesus' love because of the church that loves Jesus. I want to tell you a few things that we're going to try to do as a church this year. I had a council meeting just this last week, and when I talk to the council, I say, hey, what are we trying to do? Where are we going to try to spend our money? What should that look like? Usually, or actually always, it comes back. What we need to do with our money is we need to be the church, be what the church is supposed to be. Amazing how many times that kept coming up. Say, okay, so what is the church supposed to be? And over and over and over and over again, we have decided, the leadership of this church has decided, the church that God wants us to be is the church that's reaching out and restoring people. If we go out and care for people, they're going to say, why do we care? We're going to say, Jesus, they're going to come here. They're going to get empowered. They're going to go back out and do it for someone else. Isn't that a good cycle? I like the cycle instead of the stop. I don't like when Sunday mornings feels like I was developing and then I made a decision and I sat down and that was it. I want to see the people who sit down here walk into new places, into new empowerment in their workplaces and families and lives. New strategies, new dreams, new excitement about what could happen. And the staff of this church are excited about that together. I'll share a few things that we're doing this year, that we're going to try to commit to this year, and some of the things that we're going to invest some of our money into. I'm believing that as our church, a leadership decides that our church is going to be a generous church, we'll see more and more people wanting to be generous with the church. As the church is generous with the mission, as the church is generous with the world, and we start to think about how can we as a body do more for the Comox Valley, more for the region, more for the glory of God in Canada and internationally, I'm believing that people would want to get more generous with the church, would want to get behind that, would want to stand with that. And we might see some radical generosity coming out of this church and radical generosity coming into this church. I believe that's going to happen. As the church care for the mission that Jesus has given us, I believe that he's going to take care of this place. He's going to pour his blessing into this place. I really believe it. If we'd be generous, why wouldn't he give us more? If we'd give, why wouldn't he give us more? If we're caring for his kids, why wouldn't he give us more? So I'm believing for that. Here's what we're going to try to do this year. A couple of the things that we're committing to, and we're trying to put staffing behind, we're trying to put some money behind and believe for God's good work to happen through it. We want to love locally this year. One of the things that we've done in our neighborhood is we've tried to think of ways that our neighborhood could use the church. I believe that if a church is in a neighborhood, that should be the best neighborhood in town. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be awesome if a neighborhood starts calling to its neighbor over, you know, if someone else calls their friend in Cumberland and says, oh, you don't have a church in your neighborhood? Oh, too bad for you. We got a church in our neighborhood, and we got pies at Thanksgiving time, you know, and we get backpacks for back to school, and we get all, you know, we get taken care of in all of these ways. We have dreams right now for Burgess. We call it Burgess Ministries. We live on Burgess Street or Burgess Road or Burgess Ave or Road. We live on Burgess. Here we are on Burgess Road, and we believe that God's calling to love our neighbors is not just some metaphorical thing that someone around us, but that the people right here, right now, in our geographic location are our neighbors, and we want to love them. And so Burgess Ministries is us saying we want to be thinking throughout the year about how we're loving our neighborhood. And so we do that a few ways right now. We give out pies at Thanksgiving. We do backpacks or back to school. We find out, do you need help? And back to school time, can we help you? We like to give out hampers when people call us. We try to bless them with Christmas hampers and some of those things. One of the new ideas that we've been dreaming about, we'd love to see take place, is Burgess Birthdays. Burgess Birthdays would be the idea that we would be able to have people call us, our neighbors call us and say, hey, listen, I'm having a hard time. My child's turning 5 years old. It's a big one, and I can't afford a cake. I can't afford the gift. I can't afford to do it. And we as a church would be able to say, we got you. We're there for you. We'd love to see your child blessed in your home. We'd love to see you be able to show the love of Jesus, by the way, to your kids through the church. We would love to be able to help you and care for your kids. I believe that Jesus would want us to do that. That's been a burning on my heart. And we've got a pretty good cake chef here. Cake boss. Cake boss. So that's one of the things that we're trying to get strategic about. How can we get into our neighborhood just to show the love of Jesus? Isn't it cool? Remember that story when we had someone show up to church and say, hey, I've noticed you've been doing meals for the needy. Can I come help you? And our neighborhood sees us loving people. And they say, I don't know why you're doing it, but I want to be a part of that. Isn't that awesome when we can think that way? That's a Burgess Ministries. That's what we're trying to do. One of our community engagement missions this year. School connections. We've got emails out to a bunch of the schools. We have connections with our schools in the neighborhood. Wouldn't it be awesome also if the schools in our neighborhood say to other schools, you need a church by you. You need a church investing in you. In Victoria, Kendall and I got to be a big part of doing this in Victoria with some of the schools there, where by the time we left, they're still going so strong that there's this one school that we partnered with in our neighborhood, and in that school, that principal literally called other principals and said, you need to get a church partnered with you, because when you do, it's the best thing that can happen. You know, because all of a sudden they would put on an event there, and we say, great, we'll bring the inflatables. You know, let's make that event way better. Let's make it more. Let's make it exciting. They say, we want to help the kids and the parents buy Christmas presents for each other. And we say, and they had this idea. It was their creativity. I love when God uses someone else's creativity and we just get to get behind it. But anyways, they put together this idea that kids could come in and buy for $1 any item in the place, and the parents could do the same for their kids. So like, we just need stuff. So we showed up with truckloads of stuff. And we just started emptying that. Here's a bike, and people go and buy brand new bikes and do all these things. Wouldn't it be amazing if because we're here, the schools in the neighborhood say, there seems to be some kind of irrational generosity happening around here. And they say it's Jesus. I don't know about that, but we feel it. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's one of our goals this year, love locally. And we're caring for the needs. Worship team, you can come up, by the way. And we're caring for the needs. We've been doing this for years. I'm so thankful for it. Soup and sandwich is something that we do every single Saturday. There are four different teams that come together, some from this church, some people that aren't even from this church. They come together, and the people who have needs and need a meal and can't afford a meal on their own, those people show up here, and they eat our food that we pay for, that we just say, come and eat and enjoy it. I love being a part of that. We've got a free store out the back there, where we say, we've got a building. We're not going to use that building for anything else. We're going to keep paying to repair it. We're going to do what we can in it. But it's going to sit back there, and it's going to have one purpose, and that purpose is we're going to stock it with clothes that people can come and get for free. Some of you maybe don't even know that sits out there. That portable in the back space there is full of free clothes. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, it opens up, and people come for free clothes. There's kitchen stuff. There's all sorts of stuff in there. We're known for it in the Comox Valley. People know, are you guys the place with the free store? Yeah, we're the place. It's one of our missions. That's one of the things that we want to do as a church. Stepping Stones Ministry is a ministry for women in transition. And it's headed up and led by a board itself, and it's run through another church, and we support it. We just give some finances to it. We say, Stepping Stones, we believe in it. We want to see those women rise to all that they're supposed to be and feel supported in all that they're facing. So we support it. One of our missions. One of the things we get behind. Celebrate Recovery this year. Tonight, Pastor George is meeting with some of the leaders from Celebrate Recovery, the ones that we're trying to walk through with right now and figure out how we get started on this thing. Celebrate Recovery is a place where we're seeing people restored, recovering from drug and alcohol abuse, from a number of substance abuse issues, but also just from codependency, also from issues with parents when they were kids, also from issues of rejection, also the core things that have happened to them. People are breaking free and recovering of that. Our church this year is saying, we're going to put some money behind this. We're going to make sure everyone gets fed every time they come there. We're going to make sure that everyone can come and they can all as easily as possible walk into recovery. And we can promote it in Soup and Sandwich. We can promote it at the free store. We can share it at Stepping Stones. We can tell people, and we can start to see people come into recovery. This place is going to get more and more full of people who said, I had literally no hope. And Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up, and I don't know what happened. I literally no hope, and here I have hope. Last week, I had a guy come up to me just right here, and he said, I never wanted to step into church. My mom was a Christian. I've never been in church. He comes up to me. He's welling up with tears. He says, but I feel something here. Don't we want to have people come and know Jesus like that? Don't we want to see that? It's not about getting them here. It's not just about getting them here. I believe some of these people are going to become the greatest missionaries in the Comox Valley that we've ever seen. We're going to put in work right now to find them, to reach them, to care for them, to watch them recover. And as they do, let's watch them and celebrate them as they go out to the Comox Valley, to Canada, to the world, and see recovery happen all over the world. Wouldn't that be amazing? So we as a church are going to get behind that this year. We're going to make sure that happens. Regionally, we have Paul and Gloria. These are missionaries in our church who moved here to be involved with ministry to the First Nations. They do camps. They have people into their house. They see people restored. People get to know about Jesus. They're doing incredible work. They've started a First Nations Bible school here in the church on Tuesdays. Incredible what's happening with that. We're excited to support Paul and Gloria as they do that. They're on our website. You should check them out. Globally, right now we're in conversations with a missionary heading off to Thailand and a missionary heading off to Panama. With both of them, we're spending time, we're talking, and we're still praying as a church and deliberating where do we go, what should we do. But the goal for us is that we would start to make significant partnerships all over the world, that we'd be able to support God's work all over the world. Canada's not the only place that needs it. We need it a lot, but Canada's not the only place that needs it. I believe that by the end of this year, we will have people who are doing missions work globally and coming and speaking to us and saying, here's what's happening through Jesus in Thailand. Or here's what's happening through Jesus in Panama. Or here's what's happening through Jesus in all of these other places in the world. God moves in big ways. We're going to get behind some of these. We're going to support them in big ways. It's a commitment of our council, of our leadership, of our staff, of me. There's a lot of needs in this church. It's hard as a pastor sometimes to look and think, our building's literally leaking. When it rains, it pours in certain areas in this church. And I want to talk to you. Say, come on, can we get behind this? Can we all put some money into it? Let's see this building look like Jesus is alive. Not just our hearts, but let's make this building look like Jesus is alive. I'll tell you, as we sit around as leadership, talk about that, there's one phrase that has come to mind for me, or one idea that has come to mind for me. If we're going to stretch ourselves financially, if we're going to take risks financially, if we're going to push in a greater way financially, it's not going to be for our building, it's going to be for missions. Missions is where we'll take risks, where we'll push a little harder, where we're going to stretch ourselves a little bit, where we're going to give generously in faith, believing that God will take care of this place. He will start to stir up in some people's hearts. Some people, I think probably with this building, as we just give to what God is asking us to give and do what God is asking us to do, I'm believing in my heart that someone in this church is going to say, hey, I'll just take care of the building. I've got something. Here we go. I'll take care of it. Let the people, I'll think about mission. I'll just cover the building myself. Didn't plan on saying that, but maybe someone's got something in our heart. We're going to take risks. We're going to stretch ourselves for the sake of sharing the gospel in this Comox Valley and in the world. God's got plans. Yeah. If we reach to more people, maybe by the end of the year we have a 500, 600, 700 person church. Wouldn't that be amazing? What kind of things could we do? Fix our building and all of our neighbors' buildings. God's got dreams. Right now, sometimes church is the thing sitting on a shelf. We need to break it a little bit. We need to break our concept of it a little bit. We need to break our idea of it a little bit. It's not just getting here on Sunday. We need to smash off that top a little bit. It's not the easy open top. It's not going to be resealed. But once we smash that thing a little bit, instead, it's going to permeate out into all of our hearts, that all of us will start to catch a little bit the dreams that God has for us. All of us will want to get behind them. All of us will dream bigger for them. All of us will invest greater in them. All of us will trust God a little bit more with our time, with our families, with our health, with our finances, in all ways, because God is moving and God is empowering. And when God's people get generous for God's work, He is going to give us more. He's going to pour out His blessing, and we're going to see greater things happen. We're going to see that perfume pour out all over the Comox Valley. I believe it. But we've got to see something break in us. Church becomes more than just a place to go. It becomes the bride of Christ, gloriously reaching all over the world to prepare people for the groom, for Jesus when He returns.